Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner on our way to this new conversation that is an important one to have, and we're looking forward to having this during the next part of our program with these two women, because the Institute of Black World 21st Century presents Mother to Mother, Let the Healing Begin, Ending the Murder and Violence in Our Communities. It's a pre-Mother's Day benefit screening of the movie The House I Live In, followed by a panel discussion on Friday, May the 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Real News Media Center, 235 Holiday Street in downtown Baltimore, across from City Hall. Doors open will open 6:30, and we'll tell you how to get there and who to call about this event when we meet our two women in just a moment. But I have to remind you first that Thursday, May 1st, WEAA is celebrating jazz in the community at Phase 10 Restaurant and Lounge. Thursday Night Live, hosted by WEAA's own bass man, features jazz keyboardist Aaron Rhines, and the broadcast begins at 8 p.m. More details online at phase10.com or 410-462-2010. And we are joined now here in studio by Mildred Sammy. Mildred Sammy is co-founder of Moms, Mothers of Murdered Sons and Daughters, Maryland. She lost her son to violence in 2007. Yeah. Good to have you in the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Rosaline Prudhomme is with us. She's director of the Institute of the Black World's Criminal Justice and Drug Policy Reform Program. She's also a member of the Institute of the Black World Board of Directors. And Rosaline, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can log on to our Facebook pages, or you can tweet me at Mark Steiner. Hold on, folks, I'm going to get these headphones straight. Come right back.
Thank you.
All right. So, and welcome. And, folks, we do want you to join this conversation. We've been talking a lot this week about what the tragedies that happened here in Baltimore with the deaths of three teenagers to violence in our community. No one has yet been arrested for any of those crimes in this city. And this is something very deep to wrestle with, and this is important, I think, that women's voices be heard, given that women in this society now are also some of the deepest victims of these murders in terms of who they lose, but also in terms of the increasing population of women who are and sometimes close to being totally innocent, sucked in to a drug trade and given prison terms of a long sentencing and losing their children in the process. And so let me begin, first of all, Mildred, it's always good to see you, and thanks for coming in. And the work you do, given the tragic loss in your own family and what happened. So I'd like just to begin your commentary on what this event's about and what you're doing now.
Well, this event, IBW, as you know, is an organization that is pulling all organizations and leaders together in cities like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, but also in Baltimore, to discuss how best to collectively overcome the crises afflicting our communities, primarily crime and the war on drugs, and how sometimes some of these laws that they have on drugs and how this war on drugs is enforced sometimes is disruptive or damaging to families all over the country.
And so tell me a bit, Rosaline, what the Institute for the Black World is doing and what they're and how this is they're getting involved in this nationally and why they're bringing this to Baltimore.
Because
Rosaline.
Okay,
I'm sorry. That's all right.
That's okay. The Institute of the Black World, 21st Century, and I encourage all to visit our website and learn in much greater detail what we do. That's www.ibw21.org. But we are a leading national and international African-centered organization focusing on research, policy, and advocacy. And what brings us to Baltimore, brings us to this movement in this discussion, is the fact that our national president, Dr. Ron Daniels, and our board chair, Richard Adams, all have agreed that the war on drugs has really been a war on the black community. And this has resulted in the disinvestment and the crises in our community that has resulted in lack of jobs, education, all of the racial disparities, and all of the biased policies that this so-called war on drugs has been, since it has been declared by former, you know, the late President Richard Nixon 42 years ago in June. And it has created a state of emergency in our communities. And therefore, IBW feels it's a time to heal black families. And because of our history as a trusted good faith ally who asked no organization to surrender the sovereignty and the mission of their organization, but come together to seek ways in which we can begin to look at how do we not only heal each other because of the tremendous pain, but also how do we collaborate, coordinate, and discuss ways around all of the issues that are affecting our community.
Well, it's interesting. There's been kind of a theme this week in talking about this in terms of what happened in Baltimore and looking at kind of the greatest systemic issues of violence in this country and how that filters down to the poorest communities in exponential ways. And in some ways, what you're describing right now, Rosaline, is that same process in the sense that kind of addressing the larger issues that put young people and people in danger, that put more people of color in prison than any of the people in America, and but at the same time do internal healing so things kind of meet. And I think that's part of the healing process. I mean, whether it's, you know, I remember shows you've done here, Mildred, about just tackling the healing first, and I want to kind of look at the film you're showing this Friday night, The House I Live In, and what it shows. I think it's just really important for us to wrestle with the reality of this. But the notion of healing, I mean, there's a healing that goes on when you've lost someone, as you have. There's a healing that we had programs here with healing between people who've lost someone and the people who are and the parents of the people who killed the person that of their loved one. I mean, and the depth of healing, both personally and community, is, I think, a factor that many people have not kind of really pushed in a larger way.
Yes. Just like when my son's murderer was at trial, and when the jury came in, they came out and announced that the jury had reached a verdict. It was strange to me. I don't know where this feeling comes from. Being a mother of six children and raising them on my own, I have a heavy instinct in that. And when just before the jury came back in, I got out of my seat and went over towards the murderer, and I looked at him. And I never told my kids at that time, but I told them much later on. And they really didn't understand it. But I looked at him and I said to myself, he is somebody's child. Although he had murdered my son, I looked at him and I wondered, where did we go wrong with him? Why did he, you know, feel that he had to murder my son? And it was an overwhelming feeling. I was surprised at myself.
Uh-huh.
But everyone who's murdered is somebody's child. Everybody that murders is somebody's child.
And that the power of that kind of feeling you have is something that we don't often hear from people or talk about, because it's very difficult for us to wrestle that internally, but also what it means in a larger community sense about how we create this healing and pull people back together.
Right.
We have to take a very brief break here coming up, but we'll come right back, and I'm going to kind of talk right to Rosaline to pick up on where Mildred left off, about how we get to that healing, and then kind of explore what's happening in this country and what the move has to be to lessen the numbers of people in our prisons that contribute to the pain in our world. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Meet old Frisco, take my babe away. Meet old Frisco, take my babe away.
That's the great Muddy Waters, who passed away on this day. IB's Trouble is the name of the piece that he wrote and sang, and I think it's appropriate for what we're talking about right here on the program at this moment for this portion of the Mark Steiner Show as we talk, as we heard the words of Mildred Sammy, co-founder of Mothers of Murdered Sons and Daughters in Maryland, who lost her son to violence in 2007, and Rosaline Prudhon, who is director of the Institute of the Black World's Criminal Justice and Drug Policy Reform Program, and is also a member of the Institute for the Black World's Board of Directors. And Rosaline, I was just thinking of what Mildred was saying, and to pick up on that, and before we get into kind of these larger policy questions that we have to do to reform our country and what we do to people, but your perspective on this healing and how that takes place and how you begin that, how people are beginning it.
Yeah, thank you so much. We discovered, the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, that the healing is so necessary every time we gather together as a community. What we found is that it's not only important to meet, to have a town hall meeting and to hear others share perspectives around a whole host of policy reform issues in the criminal justice and social, you know, justice arena. But what we discovered at each town hall meeting, and we've now hosted town hall meetings, which gave birth and rise to the Four Justice Collaborative. We've had town hall meetings in Washington, D.C. We've had it in Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and recently Philadelphia. And what we found out, even with the Baltimore town hall meeting that was hosted by Sojourner Douglas College a year ago, is that after the discussion and the panelists, and we had Delegate Carter and a number of folks speak, folk on open mic got up, and there was so much pain that we felt there was a need to convene and collaborate. So we met the next day, and that's why we are encouraging all to not only come out on Friday night, but more importantly, to help us expand and build on ways to talk to each other as we begin this healing process through the work of the Baltimore Justice Collaborative. So the next day, Saturday, from 11 to 1, we're meeting over at the Sojourner Douglas College, 500 North Caroline Street on the fourth floor. And what we're asking your listening audience to do is to commit to come to that event on Friday, but further commit to join the movement for healing in Baltimore. Join the discussion, so that when your mayor, Stephanie Rollins-Blake, talks about hosting a citywide forum on May 13th, you can go in with concrete ideas and examples as to what kind of policies and what kind of programs need to be on the front burner and need to be addressed in the city of Baltimore. So through the Justice Collaborative, and there are now four, as I indicated, and one in each one of the cities, we just come together as a good faith facilitator and ask all to not surrender again their sovereignty, but come and sit around the table and discuss the pain, begin ways to advocate for the healing, and become a support network for each other. So that's the mission and the goal of not only the town hall meeting and the screening of the film on Friday, but again, as I said, coming out on Saturday to help us build and expand the movement for the Baltimore Justice Collaborative.
One of the things I like to kind of talk a bit about how we make this connection between this process of healing and pulling people together around this very painful subject, but also what kind of underlies part of that pain, which is America's drug policy. And I'm curious, especially from you all, how you think how it affects women and families and what that drug policy does to us. You want to start, Ross? Go ahead, Mildred.
Okay, I'll let Sister Sammy.
Go ahead, Mildred, then we'll go over to Rosalind.
Well, like I said, it destroys families. With the socioeconomic problems that we have in this country, with the joblessness and the ex-offenders can't find jobs, and it's really, you know, I look at it, people look at it and they're upset, they say drugs. But basically it's a business. It's a form of employment. When an ex-offender gets out and he wants to return to society and he can't find a job, what is he to do? he has children to support. He has to make money somehow. And although some people may say, they can find something else to do, they can sell real estate or whatever. Maybe they're not ready for that. And drugs, to tell you the truth, is a lucrative business. And and I say to some people at many forums, I've said, really, and these people will not accept menial jobs like McDonald's or Burger King, because technically they're entrepreneurs.
And I would jump in and add that IBW purposely selected this mother-to-mother event on Saturday, not only as a time to draw support and begin and to continue the healing of the pain of the mothers in the Baltimore community who have lost sons and daughters to violence as a result of the failed policies of the drug war. So at a time of the year where the next following Sunday we are going to be celebrating and honoring the contributions of mothers and women in our community provide the strength, health, and well-being for our families. And women continue to mend the frail fabric of the destabilization of families. And we really, as women, bear the brunt of the hopelessness and violence that we see within our communities. And therefore, it is so important that women continue to be on the forefront of being supported and being healed and being revered and uplifted and thanked for their enormous sacrifice of what they have done just to keep, you know, our communities together.
I mean, when you look at what happens to families, I mean, and in this process, I think it's pretty, it's kind of horrifying when you look at the kind of numbers that take place in this country and in this community of ours, where you say that 13% of all, let's say, crack users in our country are African American, yet over 70% of all the people in prison for crack are African American. I mean, the things are so lopsided. And then the numbers of women that are caught up in the drug system, often because of men they're with who are drug dealers, and then they go to prison because they can be charged with a felony just being around it and lose their children in the process. I mean, we're talking about a community torn asunder, and if so, and people say, well, look, these people have committed crimes, right, so you have to pay for their crimes.
Right.
But the reality is what we're doing is tearing apart communities. There has to be a different way for us to address this, given the history of this country and what's happening to people.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Well stated, because what's really happening is that with the rapid increase of women who are being, with the mandatory minimum sentences, being thrown into prisons, what happens to the families torn asunder? You know, who's raising the awareness of the dangerous and rapid increase that mass incarceration as a result of the failed policies regarding the war on drugs, and that this really has a direct impact on the violence and fratricide and the destabilization that we see within our communities.
So I
outrageous.
And I want to ask you what you think is the alternative. Just throw this other stat out here for our listeners to kind of wrestle with as they think about what this means, is that, you know, I read this stat from the Sentencing Project that over 1.7 million children of color had an incarcerated parent. 1.7 million.
Yes.
And half of those kids are under 10 years old. One out of every 15 black children in this country have a parent in prison. One out of 15. And if you extrapolate out of that, the numbers of people who we're talking about who live in the poorest communities in America, that number for those people in the poorest communities is even greater.
Right.
So what is the alternative, and how do we get to that alternative? I mean, let me start with you, Rosalie, and then go to Mildred. How do we what's the process of beginning? A, we're talking about the healing internally, but the process externally of changing the system that creates this kind of pain.
We have got to come together within communities to be the agents for social change. We've got to become the voices, the advocates, those on the forefront. We've got to be in the battlefield of this war, because war is battle, and war has been waged on the black community. And with war, they're always victims of war, but they're also perpetuators of war. And we have got to be real, real clear. But in order to do this, first we've got to internalize and recognize and get beyond our own pain so that we can really not lose sight of how to win this war. So the battle is ours, and we have got to be disciplined, we've got to be focused, and that is why the expansion of the Baltimore Justice Collaborative, as your mayor struggled to seek, you know, public policy, the Justice Collaborative in Baltimore could be a voice, could be a unified front and an advocate for that change.
I've said this many time and time again. We're worried about wars in other countries. Technically, we're having a war right here in America. People don't realize it. Violence and crime does not have barriers, rich, poor, middle class, nor is it prejudice, black, white, yellow, green. It does not boast. It simply plagues our everyday lives at every waking moment. One person, one organization, and the police cannot do this alone. We, the United States, us as a people, need to raise up and say enough is enough. Numbers talk. And reclaim our cities, our communities, our states, and our country from violence. That's why it's so very important to attend the IBW Mother to Mother Town Hall meeting on Friday, May 2nd, 2014, to open the discussions and dialogue about what is happening within our communities and present much-needed solutions that have worked to remedy the problems in our communities, not to mention the socioeconomic problems that exist in our country, which contribute to crime.
Let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888. Kellogg, you're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning,
you know,
Kellogg.
Mark brought up a point about the fact that, you know, the distributors.
I'm sorry, Kelly. Your cell phone is breaking up.
Oh, God. Crazy.
Kelly, your cell phone is breaking up. We can't really hear you. I don't know if it's the place you're in. Maybe you can try to call back, and we'll try to get you back on. The 410-319-8888 is the number here. And so, Rosalind, I think that this is – I mean, the fact that you're doing this across the country is also important, because I think there has to be this kind of – nationwide sense of what's going on, because I think what happens is that people in their communities feel isolated and disconnected, not feeling that anyone else knows, or the pain is kind of so individualized and the problem is so kind of parochialized that people don't understand the connections between each other, whether they're in Baltimore or San Diego or Chicago or Austin or Phoenix or wherever they are.
Exactly. And part of what we try to do as a good faith facilitator is to restore and to help enhance and bridge the gap in each community where we are currently have an existing collaborative. And there are other cities that are asking us, please, please, can you come in and host a town hall meeting and then help us organize so that we can collaborate, cooperate, and communicate with each other. One of the things that we found out in each of the cities, including Baltimore, where we are working to establish and enhance collaboratives, is the fact that folk who are doing good work and strategic good work don't even know about the work of each other.
Right.
And, you know, they don't come together to really look and examine issues because people, you know, stay in their own silos, in their own lanes, and all that the system has done is to really set up organizations who are doing good work to compete for fragmentation of services and limited resources.
Instead of fighting for something larger.
That's correct.
Right.
So we call what we do movement building so that we can work with the entire community and folk who are doing organizations within those communities and bring them together. We've had success, I mean, I can't begin to tell you, city to city, just by having the discussion a couple of times a year around a particular issue in the community, how the unified forces have brought about a policy change in each of the cities where we are.
Your thoughts on that, Mildred?
We have to come together and people just can't sit in the confines of their homes and think that all of this won't affect them. As I said, it has no barriers, and it's a ripple effect. It affects everyone, so everyone needs to get involved.
You know, and this film that you all are showing, I think, is an incredible film that I'm very familiar with, and I think that having people come to kind of just wrestle with what this film brings out for people is important. I mean, if the house I live in, I think that because it really kind of pushes the issues of who's in prison, why they're in prison, what effects it has on communities, why the war on drugs has failed, and it kind of, I mean, I think it appeals to many communities, Jarecki's film. So I think it's a film that could really cause and stir our discussion. I think this is the kind of thing that should be for many people to come to. This is not just a place for people to come to, I think, that have been directly involved in communities where this has taken place, but the entire community needs to come and wrestle with this because it belongs to all of us.
Right.
410-319-8888. Let it go to a caller here. Daryl, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Daryl.
I would just like to say, man, you know what? We have to challenge these pastors, the leaders of the community that's driving the Bentleys and the Benz. We have to get out in the community. The answer is becoming a family again. I'm 47 years old, and I can see how the world has changed in the short time I've been here. You understand? We haven't gotten as far in a way where technically, you know, when it comes to flaws and stuff, okay, we're advanced. But when it comes to morality and integrity, we have regressed. We haven't gotten as far. We're not as far as we were in the 60s, okay? We need to get those pastors out, do clean blocks like we used to do in the 70s. That way we can get to meet each other. We're strangers living next door to one another. People don't talk to one another no more.
Right.
Daryl, you raised some very powerful points. Mildred, go ahead. You can comment back because we're almost out of time, but I want you to have a chance to say something here.
That is so true. Like I said, you cannot sit in your home and think that, you know, all of this won't affect you. It does. It does, and it will. And to sit there blindly and think, you know, I'm okay, nothing's happening around here, or I live in this neighborhood and nothing can happen here in this neighborhood. Look at Columbia. They were shocked that shooting occurred at the Columbia Mall. No one is safe. Everyone in this country is involved.
Very powerfully said and right. And Rosalind, I guess one last thought before we move on about this thing coming up this weekend.
Well, what's coming up this weekend are two things. We know that we've got the screening of The House I Live In, which you have articulated so well what that film is about. That's going to be followed by a town hall meeting and a discussion. And, you know, your guest and my partner, Mildred Sammy, co-founder of Mothers of Murder, Sons and Daughters, along with Daphne Alston, will be featured speakers. We've also got Dorothy Johnson-Spate, who is the executive director of Mothers in Charge. Again, a powerful, powerful
yes.
testimonial about what she did to form that organization in Philadelphia as a result of her son being murdered. And we've got Justice's Family is Healing, executive director and founder of formerly incarcerated attorney Andrea James, who will be coming in to talk about what the failed war on drugs has done to incarcerated women and given her own personal story.
So I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you. We're just about out of time, but I do want to encourage all of you to come. The Institute of the Black World 21st Century, which is moving in, it's going to have an office in Baltimore soon, presents Mother to Mother, Let the Healing Begin, Ending the Murder and Violence in Our Communities. It's a pre-Mother's Day benefit screening of the film The House I Live In, with a panel discussion that Rosaline was describing, Friday, May the 2nd at 7 p.m. sharp at the Real News Media Center, 235 Holiday Street, downtown Baltimore, across from City Hall. Doors open at 6:30. The event is open to the public. More information at IBW21.org or by calling 443-219-7719. And I want to thank Rosaline Prudhomme from the Institute for the Black World's 21st Century and Mildred Sammy, co-founder of MOMS, for being with us for this segment. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See
all you, right.
See you all this weekend.
Okay.
We're here listening now to Gary Davis, his birthday, Samson and Delilah, one of the great blues men of all time, singing a song as we go to Baynard Woods, senior editor of the City Paper.
Yeah.